we've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see. World order, world order, world order.
We're back with Vinny Eastwood and Suzanne Pozel, and we've got Mark back on the line, our co-host. And you're listening to Angry Beaver Radio here on truthfrequencyradio.com. And we were talking about, Mubarak and stage revolutions. And during the break, we're talking a little bit about the Ukraine. And basically, what's going on with all these globalists? We seem to be seeing globalists in all these different countries, the same, you know, same name, same faces, the usual suspects, staging revolutions or trying to stir it up. You know, they know when to strike when the iron's hot. They know when there is dissent in the country, and they know how to stir the pot. And I've seen these same groups like the Rockefellers, Tides Foundation, the same people in Canada doing the same thing here. And we've seen, you know, cop cars being torched, whole departments being torched just a few months ago. And also there's also suspicion about the lack magnetic train derailment with all the oil on the trains. Massive explosion there.
And it seems to be oil nowadays. Almost everything, you know, whether it be ships or whether it be, you know, trains, it all is all oil for some reason lately. I don't know what's going on.
Oil wells and ends well.
I guess the point is, you know, what's going on in Ukraine is important. People who don't live in Ukraine may think, oh, well, it's there. It's not going to happen here. Well, what I'm saying is these same people that are stirring the pot there to cause this are doing this kind of stuff here for other reasons and in America.
Yeah, and Americans have such little geographic knowledge in general, and they're so plugged into pop culture. They think that Ukraine is some kind of Russian version of YouTube.
Doesn't the Ukraine want to be independent? Are they with the European Union?
Well, I can. Should I get into this now?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So, what's going on in the Ukraine is what's going on all over the Middle East. What's happened all over most of the countries, including they tried this in Iran, if anybody remembers, under the former president. I can't remember his name. Ahmadinejad, right. Ahmadinejad. So he came out and said, you're not going to start a fake revolution here in my country. They tried to say that because of sanctions, because he wasn't complying with the UN and the United States and the sanctions being imposed on the country, that the people were up in arms. He said, no, you're not going to start one of these fake revolutions in my country. So what's going on in the Ukraine is the same thing that's happened all over the world. And before I get into the history of it, I want to point out that just yesterday, Christine Lagarde came out and said that she's going to be sending a team to respond in the coming days. It's an IMF fact-finding team to Kiev to undertake a preliminary dialogue with authorities to see whether or not they're going to give that country the necessary money that they need to rebuild their infrastructure. Now, of course, the IMF and the World Bank come swooping in as soon as these fake revolutions start, because they are designed to not only topple the government, but to make sure the international bodies have control of the resources. Now, what are the resources in Ukraine? Well, we're talking about major import in Odessa for importing and exporting of natural gas and petrol out of Russia. And through the Black Sea, they can then attain the Mediterranean Sea, which would then give them the ability to push all of that natural gas and petrol out into the markets and service China and the European nations. Now, the European Union has wanted the Ukraine for a long time because they are one of these places that are the middleman in between one country and the rest of the world's markets. So it's strategically a good place for these international bodies to take over. Now, what they do, and here's the blueprint of what they do. In the early 90s, if anybody remembers, It was a group called Optor in Serbia. And Optor had staged these nonviolent revolutions using a book from Dictatorship to Democracy, which is 189 Ways to Topple Your Government with Nonviolent Resistance. This book was written in the 1970s by Gene Sharp. And because of this book has kind of gone underground like the Anarchist Cookbook. If you're not in the know, you probably never heard of it. So in 1983, with all of the help that Gene Sharp has done simply by writing this book and it being used by the Serbians to topple their government, he has received lots of money and was able to start the Albert Einstein Institute, where he sits on his little chair with funding from the Rand Corporation and the Ford Foundation, as well as the National Endowment for Democracy, which is where most of this funding is coming from. Okay, folks, there's a lot of talk about is the U.S. funding it? Absolutely. U.S. tax dollars are funding all of these fake revolutions through the National Endowment for Democracy. Now, the International Republican Institute, you probably haven't heard of them. Go look them up. One of their most famous members of the board of directors is Senator John McCain. If you remember, Senator John McCain made some sympathetic comments about the Free Syrian Army. The Free Syrian Army are a funded version of these fake revolutions.
Now, no army is free because they all require funding.
Exactly. Well, yeah, it's got to come from somewhere, right, folks? That's what the World Economic Forum is for. So the International Republican Institute went into Serbia and did something interesting. They didn't infiltrate. They monitored and watched and took notes and spoke with the inner circle. Now, they were a nameless, faceless group, like most of these fake revolutions are, so it was a little bit difficult for them to gain trust so that they could get into the inner circle. But yes, there was a head and a group of maybe like a cabinet, you would call it, that made decisions and then disseminated information to the lower ends, and then you would have these revolutions start. Now, in Dictatorship to Democracy, Gene Sharp outlined that this book was a substitute for war and other nonviolent action. We've seen it used in Tunisia, in Syria, and in Egypt, and in Libya, and they tried to use it in Iran. They use color schemes, yellow, green, red. It's one of the hallmarks of Gene Sharp's recommendations. They use the icon of the fist or the peace sign as a sign of communication between the members of the revolution. They also use slogans like, quote, people's demand, removal, regime, this my vote counts, selection, not election, where's my vote? And they put these up on posters and they carry them around in demonstrations. They use chains in order to convey civil disobedience and is often used during the protests. They hand flowers to their oppressors. They use mirrors in order to reflect back to the police officers who are standing in the way. They also use strategic planning. Now, it's not that way now, but it was back in the early 90s where people still had some semblance of what chivalry is. And so they would organize these protests in such a way that the women and children and elderly would be in front because the police were less likely to hit a child or an elderly or a woman than he would a man. A man standing up in front of a man, if you're not 4 feet away, you are a possible threat to the other man. So there's obviously a tension that's just inherent to two men standing in front of each other. They used methods like mock funerals and boycotts. They would walk down the street at 6 o'clock during the 6 o'clock news or during the broadcast when the president was on, and they would smack their pots and pans loud enough in large groups down every street so people could hear it and would be turned away from the television and paying attention to them. Now, all of these nonviolent resistance methods that I pointed out, they are not bad inherently. The book itself is not bad. It's what it's been used for, which is the terrible thing, because the International Republican Institute took this information and took notes and has used this as a blueprint all across the world. Now, here in the United States, we have the American Spring, Operation American Spring, and it concerns me a great deal because it has all of the hallmarks of a manufactured revolution. And when people come to me asking me about when is police state going to happen, when is martial law going to happen, when are they going to lock down the country, when are they going to use the FEMA camps, I've come to realize that there's an interesting point to this. When they use these fake revolutions, what they're doing is they're selling a product. It's marketing. And the product that they're selling is freedom. Now, you can't argue with freedom, otherwise you would be a jerk. Everyone wants to be free. But when you ask someone, what does freedom mean to you? Most of the time they say, well, I'm not in jail. I can go wherever I want. I can just jump in the car and go to the store. I saw a little picture today on Facebook said, I'm free. I've got the permits and the licenses to prove it. Well, isn't that funny? Because that's how we think. Now, when we have our freedoms taken away from us, we think that somebody else is in charge of whether or not we're free. Once they have that thought implanted in our mind, in a social consciousness, which then becomes multi-generational, it becomes a mutation in the evolution. People think that freedom equates things that are things that you are privileges, permissions that you get from your government or your local government that say, yes, you have a driver's license, you can drive this car. Yes, you have a license, you can fish this river. Freedom is driving your car. Freedom is fishing in a river. It has nothing to do with permits and licenses. Registration means that you are handing over something to someone else. Applications are a way of disavowing your ownership of that thing. That's why when you go to the DMV, you fill out the application, you're disavowing your car, you give it to the DMV, and the DMV then gives you a card and says, yes, you have permission to drive it. You have 2 years to drive it, and then in 2 years or 4 years or 1 year, you have to come back and get your license renewed, and we're going to test you again to make sure that you know our compliance rules, and if you do, then we'll give you permission again for another 1 to 4 years, depending on your state. So getting back to these fake revolutions, we know that we are inherently free. And that when people place restrictions on us as a whole, as a society, unless they are applied to all of us equally, that we've all chosen that these are the rules and regulations that we're going to abide by, then our freedom is a threat. It is being taken from us. Once we are in that emotional state, we are rife for the pitch, for the marketing. Now, the marketing comes when you are disenfranchised. Everyone's lost their home, or most of us have. Everyone has lost their job and their purchasing power, or most of us have. And so if we're not directly affected by it, we know people who are, and so we're indirectly affected by it. We all feel the tension. Like Vinny said, stress is the number one killer and the manifestator of most of the diseases in our bodies. So mentally, we're just wrung out. We're ready for something else, and we just want it. But we're not motivated to do it ourselves. We have this complex in our society, and I don't know if it's indicative just to America. I think it's probably on a global scale, that we think that something or someone is going to come and save us. And so when they are marketing this product called freedom, they have the savior already built into it. It's these organizers of these groups who are going to come and save you. And if you only do these things that they tell you to do, you will be free, except the marketing stops at the revolution because that's the only product that they're selling. See, on the other side of that revolution, when it comes to these other countries, is the same thing over and over again. They have the revolution. The day after, they install stability operations. You want to know where your police state is, and you want to know where your martial law is? That's the day after the revolution. These organizations that are working with the International Republican Institute and the Department of Defense and the CIA install stability operations with Blackwater and DynCorp. And they go in there and stabilize the population, which means they put guns in people's faces and say, you either comply with how we are bringing democracy to your country, or you're going to die. You choose. So obviously, people who don't want to die are going to say, okay, sir, would you like a cup of coffee, maybe a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? How can I make you more comfortable? Don't kill me. Next comes the Patsy, or the Transitional Council. We've seen the Patsies in Tunisia, and we've seen the Patsies in Egypt. We've seen the transitional councils in Libya, and they have a transitional council waiting in the wings in Syria. It's called the Syrian National Council, and they are an elected group by the U.S. State Department under Hillary Clinton and members of the United Nations. And they are, by the way, just to give you a little hint, the National Transitional Council in Libya who took over, it was a group of known terrorists, but because they have a seat at the UN, I guess they're legitimate. So that's what we have to look forward to. This product called Freedom, which is only focusing on the revolution, recruiting the public, because obviously all of us want our freedom back. We think that somebody took something from us. We don't realize that we have our own power, and we are very powerful, because they wouldn't go through all of this marketing, and they wouldn't go through all of this sale, and they wouldn't go through all of this if it wasn't so that they could maintain the idea in our minds that we have to ask them permission for the things that we already have. And that's what's going on in these fake revolutions. It's very, very, it's very, very disheartening to me that people are falling for it, but I understand it because I feel disenfranchised too. But on the other side of these manufactured, and they are completely manufactured, people go in, you know, they caught Victoria Nuland, who works for the State Department, they caught her on a phone call being taped, or I'm sorry, in a meeting. She didn't realize she was being taped. And this information leaked out, and so people reported on it. And it made people upset, and it made people angry at the government. And even though I don't doubt that she said that at all, when you look at it from the marketing standpoint of selling people this fake revolutions, it's just fuel to the fire. We know that they are doing these things. There are things they are absolutely doing. There's some conjecture going on out there, but there are absolutely 100% factual things that we know they are doing to us. And those things that we can factually prove are beyond egregious. So the theories and the conjecture just muddy up the waters and make it all confusing. When we are in that emotional state, when we are confused about what's going on in our world and how it works and who's doing it, and since we are taught and trained from day one that there's a bad guy because there's a bad thing happening, so there's got to be a bad guy, which means there's got to be a focal point, which means if we release that focal point or we remove the focal point, then we can get rid of the problem. That is the mistake. This is a hydra. This is a multifaceted problem. It deserves a multifaceted solution. But grabbing your pitchforks, like some of them did in the populist movement in other countries just a couple of months ago, grabbed their pitchforks and their fire and went and stormed Parliament in Italy, I believe it was. You can't expect that to change anything. It's not going to, because the people who are in charge of that protest are the Defense Department, the State Department, the International Republican Institute. It can't go the way that you think it's going to go, because those are the people who are controlling it.
Right. Now, we've seen this. I've noticed it happening in America with, you know, we call controlled opposition. It's rampant throughout Canada, particularly in the environmental groups in Canada, is really the big one, where the Rockefeller and the Tides Foundation, Forbes Foundation are all funding. And they're the only real violent ones. Some of the other protest groups are infiltrated, but they don't seem to, they haven't really gotten violent. But I was wondering, like, Vinny, do you notice any of this same type of stuff going on in like New Zealand or Australia?
Oh, it's the same kettle of fish, you know, every day is just the same thing. I think what's occurred to me speaking with Americans and Canadians and people from the UK is that they all talk about New Zealand as if they don't understand it, as if it's different from the situation that they're in. It's no different. You got fluoride in the water, we got fluoride in the water. You got fomented BS revolutions and corrupt politicians, we've got those too. You got chemtrails, we got chemtrails. It's the same stuff, different accent.
Right, there's no real escape the new world order.
Well, I mean, think about the term new world order. Name me a country do you think is exempt from that definition?
Now, maybe the moon? I don't know. Antarctica?
Yeah, I don't think so. Incidentally, New Zealand's the one of the only places in the world where you get probably the largest quantity of access in terms of a jump point to Antarctica, which is why the U.S. military is very, very interested in our country. They did Operation Catapo. Catapo's a really nasty spider here in New Zealand, incidentally, and it was the largest U.S. troop movements in New Zealand since World War II. We haven't had this many U.S. troops in our country before. And what the operation was doing was practicing beach landings and things of this nature under the guise of training to remove a prime minister from New Zealand. You heard that correctly. The U.S. military is training with New Zealand troops, practicing to remove a prime minister of New Zealand, just in case. Doesn't that strike anybody as just a little bit scary?
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. That is exactly what I'm saying. This is, look, it's cheaper to do it this way. You get the entire country to, or at least a large sect of the country, to fight your fight for you, so you don't have to hire soldiers and you don't have to pay all of that money out. And then you have the people right where you want them because they think that they've won. So that when you introduce the new patsy or the new transitional council, everybody is, yes, yes, let's do that. I like that guy. Let's do that. And it's worse than they were off before.
Yeah.
Like I have friends, excuse me there, Vinny. I have friends from Egypt, and a lot of them are saying to me that they liked President Morsi. A lot of them, most of them were in favor of Morsi, but other countries are demonizing these presidents, prime ministers, and you kind of wonder what's going on. If the people support them, then, you know, why is the U.S. butting in and just...
Well, Mohammed Morsi is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. So no offense to anyone that you're speaking to, but it might be a pertinent question to ask them where they stand with the Muslim Brotherhood. And the Muslim Brotherhood is a very scary organization. They were founded in 1928, and they have been used, they've been a kind of like an Al-Qaeda for elite organizations to use all over the Middle East for a very long time. You might want to research that.
Yeah, and especially tell your children about it so that they know about it too, so that both of you don't get taken for a little Morsi ride.
Well, I'm getting this information from all sides, it not being as bad as what people are portraying them as. These living in.
Dude, you're breaking up pretty sure. Badly there. But you're breaking up almost as bad as a Hollywood couple.
Yeah, you're breaking up pretty bad there, Mark. But yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, to me, it's just one globalist stooge, and then they just implanted another globalist stooge when they were done, wiping their butt with the last one.
Yeah, these guys are hired to do a job. If they don't do their job correctly, we went into Nicaragua and took out Noriega, and we installed Castro because we didn't like Batista. And we've done this all over through the Middle East. It's the same thing. The only twist to this is they realized with the Serbians that they could take a blueprint and use it over and over again, because if someone comes to you and says, do you want to be free? You say yes. Automatically, you're implying that you're not free. So now that they have you in agreement, they're going to tell you how you're not free. And then they're going to tell you the one thing you can do to get your freedom back. And it happens to be participating in this manufactured revolution. So that is a sales pitch that everyone will fall for. And it has no bearing on someone's intelligence level. It's emotional. See, what they're doing is they're touching that deep emotional core inside you, that need to exist. And if someone challenges that need to justify your existence. So since we're all here and we all breathe and we exist, then the only other thing to do is to justify our existence if someone says that we shouldn't. And that is a base psychological need in all of us, that when they touch that, the other person will just immediately put up a wall, filter out all information, look for information to validate their belief, because now they have a belief system, and then participate in things that if they were in their right mind, if they weren't in under the influence of fear, rage, alcohol, or drugs, or any combination of the four, they would make good decisions for themselves that would benefit their lives instead of strapping them into an alternate universe of tyranny.
Well, I think if you're going to have a successful tyranny, you need to ensure that you have catch nets to catch people who get, shall we say, disillusioned. And that's the thing. They'll be like, oh, there's this tyranny over here. No, I don't like that one. And there's another tyranny over here that says that it's in opposition to that other one. So I'll be in favor of that. And then when you get disillusioned with that one, they've got an alternative tyranny for you to back up to. You know, it's just a shell game. It's like Russian dolls, or in this case, Ukrainian.
Oh, you say tyranny catch nets. I thought you were referring to the catch nets at the side of the iPhone factories.
Oh, that was Foxconn.
Suicide nets.
Absolutely.
It's a good tyranny catch net.
Yeah.
You know, Google just bought Foxconn, right?
Google bought Foxconn, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess that must be part of their Don't Be Evil campaign.
See, it's an interesting acquisition.
And again, the Vinnie Eastwood assumption. If they have an official line, it's the direct opposite. Don't be evil. Okay, that's just get rid of the word don't in there. Just be evil.
They have found the perfect way to make us fall for whatever they have in store for us. Because we all agree that the food is poisoned, the air is poisoned, our job market's in the toilet, our economy is there as well. There's no end in sight. Obama's starting these manufacturing hubs all over the country because he wants to turn our illustrious country into a nation of workers. He's got an initiative in the school system from K through 12, including higher education, where you're just going to – they're going to assess your skill level, and they're going to train you to be a worker from that day forward. And if you go to any higher education, it'll be a tech college or a two-year degree where you can become a slave and work on some sort of assembly line. And so how are they going to get good people who are wonderful, smart entrepreneurs, people who want to have their own business? How are they going to get them to become slave workers? They're going to convince them that that is freedom. It's just like the Deltas in Brave New World. They were happy to be Deltas. Why? Because they were happy to be part of the machine that made life easier for the upper echelon.
It'd be nice. It'd be nice if freedom was real, or rather, if there was people out there promoting actual, real freedom. Don't you think? Like, wouldn't that be a nice change? I think part of the frustration and the reason why many people in this, you know, alleged truth movement get depressed and get angry and what have you is because they're just sick of being lied to. And they get lied to so much about so many things that it becomes so difficult to see the truth even if you're looking for it. And I think that's part of the source of the frustration, why a lot of people give up and stop listening and stop. And here's the thing. Actually, you know what's more important than listening to radio shows like mine? Is actually going out there and doing something about it. All right? I've said on my show many times, I would rather my show get zero listenership tomorrow and have all of those people who were listeners to my show start up their own show, or all of those listeners go out with a camera and ambush a local politician who's committing some form of scumbaggery. You know, I would actually prefer that. I would prefer to be out in the cold, homeless and jobless and have nothing to do with my life, so long as all of those people who were listening stopped listening and started doing something about it instead. But I'm not sure if that's going to happen. But, you know, there's no reason to say that listening's a bad thing in a necessary way. But still, it doesn't change my preference.
I think what needs to happen is we need to wake up. And those of you who think you're awake, I want you to try something. Just try it. If it doesn't work, go back to the way you were doing things before. when you hear something in the news or someone says something or you watch something and you have an emotional reaction to it, stop. Think. And then choose a course of action. If you stop and think for a minute or a night, don't let anyone tell you you got to make a decision right away. Sleep on it. There's a reason why people used to do that. It's because if you make a decision based on an emotion, those are the decisions you regret. Those are decisions that caused you more harm when you were just trying to find a good, decent path to get to where you were going. So since our end game is freedom, then if something comes along that rouses up our emotions and it is designed to get us to agree with it and become part of it the moment we hear about it, let's just sit back and think about it for a minute. Do some research. Look into it. Find out who is involved. Find out who they are involved with. And have the wherewithal, the self-esteem to not follow the crowd and to do what's right for you. And if the answer is no, be brave enough to say no. You might be right about it.
Right. It sure beats, you know, like I know there's definitely lots of Canadians here that are probably have the best, you know, thoughts in mind in terms of protecting the environment, but have gotten involved with some organizations that are actually promoting violence and destruction of property, and also causing harm to other individuals, and they already have. And the sad part is some of these supposed activists, well, many of them are not paid. They got sucked into the propaganda and don't realize they're, you know, globalist-funded, globalist-run. And that's just one of many activist groups. If you look into all the different protest groups and various activist groups around the world throughout history, I mean, it's hard to find one that wasn't infiltrated or hijacked or you know, steered one way or another to steer the people off a cliff using.
Well, this is a different tactic, and I'm not saying this at all that you're implying this that it was infiltrated. This is not infiltration, and I'm saying this more for your audience than for you because I know you, John, and you're right on the ball. You know what you're talking about. This is absolute manufacturing. None of it was ever real. None of it. You know, the part about 1984 that most people gloss over and never talk about is when Winston Smith learned that the revolution was never real and the head of the revolution was made up. That is what we're dealing with. That is what we're, it's so insidious. It's that disgusting. It's that repulsive. That they have taken our desire for freedom and said, hey, wait a minute. Now, we can't stop them from figuring out that we're putting all this garbage in their food and their water. We can't stop them from figuring out that the money's fake and that it's all a ruse. What do we do? Hey, I got a great idea. Let's take that and use it to our benefit. And that's what they've done. These are corporate CEOs. Bill Gates does not become Bill Gates without having a knowledge of how to manipulate and how to control people through words and through certain actions.
Hey, how do you get Australians to buy into a ruse? Wait, hold on a second. I've completely messed that one up. What do you call a ruse that works on Australians? Kangaroos.
These are not real. These revolutions are not real. It is part of a process. It is a new U.S. foreign policy process where they send in agitators to rally up people who are just waiting for someone to come along, who know people, who can be talked into it. And when they get enough people together, they go and they topple the government and force those people out of office. Then what happens is the new guy all of a sudden shows up and everybody loves him. The heads of these groups who have now brought that person, the first president down, loves the new guy. And the new guy gets in. Look, right now there's factions in Ukraine talking about the EU. the Ukraine, why would the EU want to be part of the Ukraine? Why would the EU want to be part of the technocratic revolution? They have not been part of it all this time, and they've been fine. If they are under the thumb of the technocrats, then everything that belongs to the Ukrainian people belongs to the IMF and the World Bank. That's what it means to join the EU. You give up all sovereignty. The guy who's sitting there as president or the leader, he's taking orders. He's just doing what he's told to do. And he's better at that job than the previous guy, which is why they have to get him out. The whole thing is absolutely fake. And the problem is that it is the most real show we've ever seen. It's a new product. Just like they've used technology to get better at surveying people, they've used our minds and studying our psychology for all these decades, using the pharmaceutical companies to figure out how our brains work and which chemicals, when released in our brains, the receptors that receive it and how it works, that they know, using neuro-linguistic programming, they know what to say, how to say it. And the worst part about it is they get you to finish their sentences. They give you a slogan, and I mentioned this on Vinny's show, so Vinny is probably bored of this, an idea whose time has come. What idea? Whose idea? Where did the idea come from? Nobody knows. It's a slogan. It's a catchphrase. It is designed to get you, the listener, to finish that slogan, to finish their sentence. And what's most important, folks, is not what the guy says to you. It's what you say to yourself after you're finished listening to him. Because that conversation that you have in your head defines what your next action is going to be. And if you are emotionally charged and under the spell of the words of the presenter, then you're going to fall for whatever he said, and you're going to finish his sentence in the right way. And as soon as he comes back around with the rest of his sales pitch, bam, he's got you. And there's nothing you can do. And the best part about it is you thought that it was your idea. You thought that you came up with it. And so by there, the salesman is completely, he's not a bad person. He's just the help. He's just the facilitator. He helped you figure out this grand idea for yourself when really the whole thing is manufactured. It's unlike any other scheme we've ever seen before.
Well, I know we are probably running close to the end of our time. Vinny, you got any closing thoughts? And shout out your website and when people can tune in.
Okay. Closing thoughts. Number one, there's no one solution. There's no one size fits all kind of a solution to this problem. I evidenced this by asking people to think honestly. What ways is the New World Order currently screwing you? Every way, wouldn't you say? Therefore, any way that you resist their agenda is the right way to go about it. You can do anything. Anything at all. Except nothing. Don't do nothing. That's the that's the problem. You know, you got to inspire people. You got to motivate them to get out there. Okay. You know, take me for example. By myself, to the large part, I mean, I acknowledge all the support that I've been given over the years by people who've helped to produce my show on occasion, and all, of course, the listeners who fund my operation through their generous donations. But that aside, by myself, I have created a YouTube channel that outranks the mainstream media in New Zealand. So, and I have provided a platform where activists, for free, they don't have to give me any money whatsoever, they don't have to support me in any way, shape, or form. I will provide a platform for them regardless so that they can talk at length about the issues that they're discussing. The reason why it's at length and the long form interviews is because specifically of the fact that sound bites do not give you enough information to satiate your hunger for the truth. You understand, don't you, ladies and gentlemen, that this is an important job. I'm doing it as hardcore as I can. I'm tired. I'm stressed. I'm depressed because of my current financial situation. We just moved into a bigger house so that we could expand the operation. But there's just been all these bills and problems, and we just got married and came back from Christmas and all of that kind of stuff. So I really need some help. Ladies and gentlemen, I really need some support. So go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, and if you would be generous enough to start up an automatic payment, just a few dollars a month, whether that be $5 or even a dollar itself a month, just show me some support, because of the fact that I'm not gonna pay you back. In most cases, I don't even have the time to thank all of these generous people who give of themselves to help me support what I'm doing. I can't pay you back for that. I can't even express the amount of gratitude that I have. I can, however, pay it forward. I can and do make sure that all of these people who normally get ignored by mainstream media, and if they're not ignored by mainstream media, they get given minimal coverage of a few minutes with a douchebag radio show host that interrupts them every few seconds on only a few minute interview. That's not fair. These people give their lives in some cases. They give their comfort and security up so that they can try and save this country from tyranny, so that this information, when it goes out there, can help save this world from tyranny. The only way that tyranny can exist is if people are not aware that it's even there. It's like the greatest trick the devil even pulled is making sure that people don't believe he even exists. So this is the part that I need to stress to people. One man can make a difference. One woman can make a difference. If you are not prepared to go out and make that difference by yourself, regardless of the level of support that you're getting, just to start it, okay? Don't ask for help. That's the biggest mistake anybody ever makes when they want to go out and start doing something right by humanity. Is the first thing that they do is they ask somebody to help. You know, can you help me figure out how to do YouTube? Can you help me figure out a radio show? You don't need any help to begin. That's what I discovered. You don't need help to begin. Once you begin, on the other hand, after a while, you will realize very shortly, as soon as I did, that you need help to continue. Right? So I want to encourage people to do one of two things. Begin to do something to expose the tyranny, or help somebody who is being effective at doing it. Help people who are helping others in your stead. Okay? Everybody contributes in their own way. It takes 7 people to tell you the same thing before you start to get it, ladies and gentlemen. All you got to do then is not think that you're the one person who's going to wake this a slave mentality person in front of you. You won't be the person to wake that up. Just say something. Don't do nothing. And just pray and hope and believe that there will be 6 other people that that person will talk to over the course of their life that will tell them the same thing that you did and wake them up. Play your part, ladies and gentlemen. Play your part. And go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and please help me. I desperately need people's support right now. Suzanne?
Well, my website is occupycorporatism.com. I have started a news agency. Phase 1 is the online newspaper, which is the usindependent.com. And I'm proud to say that the Angry Beaver and Vinnie Eastwood and John and everything that you, both of you wonderful gentlemen do, makes the U.S. Independent the wonderful online newspaper that it is, because it's good sourced information from real good people, experts, radio broadcasters, attorneys, medical doctors, giving you good information. Because if we have good information, we will finally be able to make good decisions that will stop the new world order directly in its tracks. So please visit those 2 websites, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, I think we're just about out of time, so with that, I'll say goodnight to everybody, and tune in next Saturday at 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, noon Mountain.
Hi, I'm Janet Napolitano, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. Homeland Security begins with hometown security. That's why I'm pleased that Walmart is helping to make our communities more safe and secure. If you see something suspicious in the parking lot or in the store, say something immediately. Report suspicious activity to your local police or sheriff. If you need help, ask a Walmart manager for assistance. Thank you for doing your part to help keep our hometowns safe.